This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Now, let's deal with a little bit more Christian nationalism. Let's deal with some illegal immigration talk. And then we're going to get to some emails. Chris, by the way, I forgot to tell you during the break, I sent you something and I'm going to need it because they're once. In fact, I'm going to need it pretty quickly here. So let me know whenever you have it. But we were just discussing Whoopi Goldberg. We try not to do that often on the show. We were discussing The View and how now, because of the power they've achieved in our society, the communists are getting bolder and bolder and bolder about what they believe, about who they think their enemies are. Now, they're not totally honest ever, because the communists can never be totally honest. But every now and then, honesty kind of slips out. Again, they'll shade it for Norm to keep him calm, but it slips out. Headline, Republicans 3 times more likely than Democrats to hold Christian nationalist views. Well, remember, we've been talking a lot about what this focus on Christian nationalism actually is. It's a focus on Christianity, on the church. It's an open warfare being declared on the Christian church. They just use the word Christian nationalism to keep the norms and normas safely in their pews, thinking they're talking about someone else when really they're talking about you and your church.
This movement was the foundation for January 6th. They were the moving elements that made January 6th and the insurrection happen. And now we have a Speaker of the House who is an avowed Christian nationalist.
This is very much in line with the overall attack on trans people writ large, because this is actually a focus by the Christian nationalist movement on anything that they consider to be outside of the gender binary.
So they put their loyalty to Trump and God before Constitution and country. I think it is the most heinous threat, and it is the largest domestic threat you could possibly think of at any point in our country. Right now it's happening.
They're talking about you. Well, if you go to church, if you're a Catholic, Christian, Mormon, whatever, if you go to church, they're discussing you. Don't think you people are exempt from it, Chris. The Orthodox Jewish Church, 100% in the crosshairs. 100%. Eventually, this will come for Islam, depending on how this election goes. I've been making this prediction for a long time. The American communist has not attacked Islam, even though he can't get all that rainbow stuff in there. He hasn't been able to do that, but he has not attacked Islam yet. Why? Because remember, it's all about power, and Muslims in America overwhelmingly vote Democrat almost every time, at least they have. Now that all this Israel-Hamas stuff is still going on, they're losing much of the Muslim vote. Now, we can discuss what a problem that is for a nation. Nevertheless, if they lose too much of it, then they'll be coming for the local mosque as well. The communist doesn't share power. And the communist is clear-eyed about who his enemies are. Now, let's talk about race for a moment before I have Chris play this little clip for me here. Here's something the right can get confused about today when we discuss the systemic racism against white people that has become ingrained in American society at every level. It's in the military, it's in the education system, it's in the corporate world, it's absolutely everywhere. White people suck, white people suck, white people suck. It can be easy when we discuss these things to convince yourself that it is at its base, at its core, that it is about skin color. That at its base, this is about crushing white people. It's anti-white people. That is missing what's happening. That's how it materializes in reality. It has nothing to do with skin color. It's simply about power. It's about identifying the people who give you power and will continue to give you power, and identifying the people who are more likely to try and deny power to you. Here in the United States of America, black people, for instance, are openly courted to the point it's shameless pandering by Democrats in this country. Why are Democrats pretending to care about black people so much? They pretend to care about black people because black people vote over 90% for Democrats. Therefore, black people in their eyes are an ally. We must court them. We must care for them. We must hand them things because we know that they will reward us by giving us power. If black people tomorrow woke up and decided, I've had enough, and they voted 90% Republican, you would see the most open anti-black laws passed in Democrat state after Democrat state. State after Democrat state, they'd bring back Jim Crow in 35 seconds if black people started voting against them. It's not at its base, at its core, actually about skin color. It's simply about power. Keep that in mind as you listen to this clip, as you listen to these two dorks opine about how evil and terrible the white rural person is. The reason they're discussing that is not because they're actually against rural people, and it's not actually because they're against white people. It's because they don't like how the white rural voter votes. That's the problem. They've identified a demographic that denies them power, and they're furious about it.
Joining us now, professor of political science at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, Tom Schaller, and journalist and opinion writer, Paul Waldman. Their new book, out tomorrow, is entitled White Rural Rage, The Threat to American Democracy. And Tom, we'll start with you. Why are white rural voters a threat to democracy at this point? You would think, as we pointed out, looking at Joe Biden's background and Donald Trump's, that the opposite would be true.
I mean, we lay out the fourfold interconnected threat that white rural voters pose to the country. First of all, and we show 30 polls and national studies to demonstrate this. So we provide the receipts in Chapter 6. They're the most racist, xenophobic, anti-immigrant, and anti-gay geodemographic group in the country. Second, they're the most conspiracist group. QAnon support and subscribers, election denialism, COVID denialism and scientific skepticism, Obama birtherism. Third, anti-democratic sentiments. They don't believe in an independent press, free speech. They're most likely to say the president should be able to act unilaterally without any checks from Congress or the courts or the bureaucracy. They're also the most strongly white nationalist and white Christian nationalist. And fourth, they are most likely to excuse or justify violence as an acceptable alternative to peaceful public discourse.
So you mentioned a lot of negative factors.
We got it. Did you hear the reasons why? It's really, and I know, and I'm not denying that it materializes in open anti-white racism. I'm not denying that at all. I understand that that's how it comes out, and that's the result. But that's at its base. That's not what it's about. It's simply about power. The entire Democrat Party base, all of you, every one of you crazy communists, street communists listening to me now, every one of you will be thrown into gulag or shot if these people finally take complete power. I want you to understand, every one of you LGBTQ people listening right now, you're gone. Every black Democrat voter listening, you're gone. Oh, but they care about the climate. No, 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 no. You're gone. Oh, but feminism, they can. No. What you all are, the various activist Democrat groups, you're simply a malcontented group the people in power realize they could use for more power, for more prestige. They identified your bitterness. They talk to it. They play to it all the time. They have convinced you that if you just remain a loyal communist foot soldier, that these people will destroy everyone you want destroyed, and that will somehow bring some sort of fulfillment into your life, but it will not. You will never actually achieve power. They will never do anything for you but bring you more and more misery, because the misery of your life is the power for them in the end, because you have taken your misery and you have translated it for these people into power and prestige. They're destroying your communities on purpose, and you still support
having
them.
Progressive prosecutors, for example, who can show what is possible and then show that it works and show that, frankly, it's not contrary at all to public safety. In fact, it is a better way. It is a very effective way, among other ways, to achieve public safety.
They're standing up in front of you, not apologizing for turning animals loose all over the poorest neighborhoods of this country. Hey, sorry about that new Venezuelan gang we brought in to rape and murder your women. Sorry about that. Anyway, isn't it awesome? We're going to keep doing it. They don't care about you. They care about power. And the power they have is the power you give them because of your bitterness. That's all. They don't care about your sexual orientation or your skin color or your religion. You're a feminist. They don't actually care about your Subaru Outback. They only care about power. That's it. And you, because you're a bitter loser who hates yourself, have given them endless amounts of power to spread your misery around to the masses. That's the truth. Journalist Jesse, I don't get it. You tell us our standard of living has gone down. $34 trillion in debt seems like an avalanche ready to swallow us. $1 trillion in credit card debt is almost unfathomable, yet it looks like the economy is booming. Flights were sold out, just returned from vacation. Restaurants were packed. Explain. Okay, this is a very, very good question. Why is the stock market, why is it still kind of high? Why are flights booked? Why are restaurants full? But people can't afford eggs. I'll explain in a moment.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show with me, award-winning Jesse, even though I haven't won any awards yet. Remember, you can email the show for Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Email right now, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Before we get to this story about the illegals and a little bit more about what I was talking about last night about all the missing kids. In fact, Chris, while I'm doing this, grab that local news broadcast we were playing last night about the missing illegals who were going missing. I'll explain a little more in detail. But the guy had a good question. It was, hey, Jesse, I don't understand. We're getting swallowed up by all this debt, national debt. Inflation's really bad. People can't afford eggs. Then explain things like the stock market. Why are flights sold out? Why are restaurants packed? Why are these things? Well, I need to explain this to those who may be doing pretty well right now. What has happened, especially over the past 3 or 4 years, is many, many, many people in the haves category got better off
and the have-nots got worse off. And allow me to explain. There's an old saying in investing. I'm not some investment guy, so please, I'm not trying to be Mr. Wall Street here, but it's an old saying that even I know in investing. When there's blood on the street, buy property. That's the saying. It's a little ugly, right? But it is the truth. If you really want to make a bunch of money for yourself, go find a war-torn city. Buy up a couple city blocks. Buy a house or two. If you have the extra money sitting around to do it, remember, it takes extra money, but go ahead and buy it up and just sit on it for 10 years. In 10 years, whatever's going on there will have passed. Maybe they'll be redoing the city, and that property you bought for, let's call it $20,000 10 years ago, it's now worth $300,000, and you made a fortune on your investment. During COVID, what happened was the communists in this country declared war on small businesses. Many small business owners and former small business owners are nodding their heads right now as I say that. Big businesses not only didn't get punished, they got rewarded heavily. That's why the mom and pop boutique in your town had to shut down, but Lowe's and Walmart were wide open up the road. What it did was it shifted. We lost a third of our small businesses in this country. Gone. It shifted all that money, all that wealth. It took it away from middle class and normal people, and it handed it not only to big corporations, it handed it to people who invest, who have enough money, and they're investing in the stock market. If you want to know why the stock market, still looks good, it's because the stock market is made of different things today than it was made of 50 years ago. You know why your stock market price, you know why your stocks look good? Why your retirement looks good? Go look at it. It's a bunch of corporations now who have aligned themselves with the government and received gigantic government checks or government handouts in other ways. Whoa, wow, I can't believe how good my 401k is doing. Go look at it. I bet you money you'll find Pfizer in there. In fact, I guarantee you will. What's happening is the have-nots, and maybe this is you right now, the have-nots are people who are barely getting by, middle class, maybe lower middle class, hourly people, working people. Because the dollar has gone down, they can't afford to live the way they've always lived. Groceries cost too much. Gas costs too much. Construction materials cost too much. All these things cost too much. And they aren't getting any benefit on it on the back end because they don't have $50,000 in stocks in Walmart. They don't have that. It's not an option available to them. So it's only loss for them. But the haves are spending like wildfire to, one, maintain their standard of living. I should note, by the way, that your neighbor who's going on his fifth vacation this year is probably buried in debt, in ways you don't want to imagine. So don't be too jealous about Susie and Brian and Aiden and Jaden getting back from Barbados for the third time this year. They're probably going bankrupt within a year or two. But anyway, people are spending way more than they're making. That's one. And two, what happened, especially during the pandemic with all that money printing and then all the spending that came with it, is it put America in yet another one of these situations where there was a Y in the road. And if you were well off enough financially or with a major corporation or whatever the case may be, if you were in a situation where you could withstand it, you probably hooked a right at the Y, and you're probably doing as good or better now than you were before. That's so hard to accept for people who were in a different place when they hit the Y and they had to make a left. They didn't have a bunch of Apple stock. They didn't have this. They didn't have that. All they've had is their life disappear. All they've had is a conversation with their kids about why Christmas is going to look different this year. About why mommy and daddy had to shut down their shop. About why mom can't be there anymore to help you with algebra after school because she had to take a job because just dad's job isn't enough to pay the bills anymore. And that's very, very hard. but the haves are having a difficult time understanding the have-nots, and the have-nots are having a difficult time understanding the haves. Nevertheless, that's what we're seeing. And this is why I've told everyone, haves and have-nots, to make preparations for a financial future that looks nothing like what we've ever known. Nothing. Because they're not stopping. They're going to pass another CR. They're going to pass another omnibus bill. They're just going to keep spending and printing and spending and printing and spending and printing until we're all wiped out. All of us. Get some gold in your retirement account. Get some silver in your retirement account. I don't care which precious metal it is, but what Oxford Gold Group does is they'll take your retirement account and they'll make sure a portion of it, not all, that's crazy. They'll make sure a portion of it is precious metals. What does that do? It raises the floor. So when that bubble does eventually go pop, you don't lose your entire 401k that you rely on. Let Oxford Gold Group do this for you. Let them mail you physical gold and silver. That's another critical part of all this. They'll put it in your physical possession. Call 833-995-GOLD and let Oxford help you. Let them help you. 833-995-GOLD. Just tell them I told you to call and they'll take care of you, I promise. All right? All right. These illegal kids being trafficked. Next. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Chris, did you look up that Al Roker thing? You should know that Jewish producer Chris, during the break, sometimes he says things that aren't true, but he thinks they're true because he spends too much time on the internet. He told me that Jimi Hendrix and Al Roker are related. Al Roker's the Today Show guy who pooped his pants in the White House, right? If I remember that. Chris, you don't remember that? Michael remembers it. Al Roker said on camera that he pooped his pants in the White House. I didn't say it. I don't know what you're looking at me for. I didn't. It wasn't me. Look, Al, don't trust the fart after bratwurst night. It's not my fault, buddy. It's not my fault. All right, now, you remember yesterday we played for you. I'm going to play it for you again here in a moment. But we played for you a local news story. And the news story was you could tell the local authorities, they're trying to make sense of why all these kids, they're getting checked into these foster homes here in America, and then they're leaving. They'll wake up, they'll pack up their stuff, and they'll leave. Here's a recap for you. Here's a news story we played for you last night before I continue. I figured this would probably be helpful.
Migrant runaways. Children who came across the southern border alone were placed by the U.S. government with an adult sponsor and then vanished. Kids like 15-year-old Yenny, who was last spotted with a black backpack getting into a white pickup truck. No one will say where she went. Selena was just 16 when she ran away from her sponsor's home weeks ago. Cesar, also 16, left his uncle's home one day and never returned.
This is all my missing kids.
These files are pretty thick.
It's Culpeper Police Detective Norma McGuckin's job to try to find them, and she says her cases all seem to unfold the same way.
The sponsor will take him in, or her, and then within 30 days tops, a couple days sometimes, and then the child just picks up and leaves.
You called this a crisis.
We have 21 missing still.
That's a crisis.
On a small town.
You know what keeps me up at night sometimes? It doesn't keep me up, I guess I should say. I'll wake up, and if I'm rolling over, I got to get up to pee or something, I'll think about it. I think about all those innocent kids, those little illegals, who are in hell right now in this country. I don't mean in actual hell. I mean living a life of hell. And I talked about this a little bit last night about how, you know, we act like times have changed all the time. We're more civilized now and whatnot. And we love to pat ourselves on the back these days, modern humans, about how slavery's gone. We eliminated slavery, but slavery has always existed and it still exists today. Ownership and abuse of another human being as if he's some kind of an animal instead of a child of God. And I talked last night after I played that news segment. I gave some hard truths about the existence these children live. Remember how many of these children get here? Many of these children, many. Many of them are either orphans or their parents are owing bad people. Their parents owe bad people a lot of money. Either they've been extorted or they borrowed. Or look, there's a lot of reasons you can get in the hole with very bad people in various parts of Latin America. Some really, really ugly things go on down there. Parents will and have sell their children off to the cartels, to criminal gangs. I know for a loving parent, maybe you're looking at your kids right now, that's beyond belief, right? For me, that's beyond belief. I can't believe that's a thing that happens. Nevertheless, I read history books. And when people get in dire situations, they will sell or trade their children, especially if they have multiple. I guess I kind of understand why that might be. One has to die so others may live. I think about stories, like I said, out of China, out of the Holodomor, drawing straws to see which kid you're going to eat that night. It's that crazy, but that's the history of the world. People get in bad enough situations, they will hand away their children, send away their children, trade away their children. Many of the children we encounter on the southern border are children who are being trafficked into this country because they are here specifically to be slaves. of the worst kind, the absolute worst kind. Here's a headline. This is from sarahcarter.com. This is after we talked about that last night. A report: over 85,000 migrant children lost could be in the labor market or sex trafficked. You see, these children, after they get into the country, the bad men who traffic them into the country are horrible, but they understand the illegal immigration process, and the children are given contact information or a time and a date, or they're told someone will reach out to them. And you see, even if the government puts you in some kind of a loving foster home where they want to take care of you, you don't have the option to stay in the home, get three meals a day, air conditioning and heat, because you are actually already a slave who's been bought and paid for by the various criminal elements to be abused in this country. And when you're given your time or date, you will go. If you don't, you'll be killed, or mom back home will be killed, or your little sister will be killed back home. Remember, these criminal organizations, they gather the information on your family members, on people close to you who are back home, and they let you know in no uncertain terms. You will do what you're told when you're told, or mom will have her head cut off, and then we'll send you pictures of it. And they do this stuff. And I think about this sometime. As much of a border hawk as I am, as much as I'm a deport them all kind of a thing, and I am, I don't apologize for that, these are still human beings, and it freaking breaks my heart about the kids, man, and the women. It really does. It sucks. And you look at how much the American media has enabled and encourages the modern-day slave trade. That's what it is. Headline: Venezuelans in Georgia are worried about backlash after a student killed on UGA campus. The American media, immediately after an American girl's beaten to death by an illegal from Venezuela, the American media immediately sees itself as the sword and shield of those who have abused our sovereignty. Awful. Awful. And then you see stuff like this in places like Seattle. Seattle, remember, voted 74-22 for Joe Biden over Donald Trump. And it's hard to feel bad for the people of Seattle.
Seattle City Council disrupted as asylum seekers and their supporters once again pleaded for support. Council President Sarah Nelson saying there are limited resources here.
I don't really want to participate in a conversation that should be had with county leaders, state leaders, federal leaders.
Council ultimately took a break from the meeting in the middle of chants from protesters yelling on behalf of the refugees. At one point, council member Kathy Moore requested that SPD...
The illegals in this country are so emboldened by the protection system put into place by Democrats, the media, Hollywood, all these people. Illegals are so emboldened now in America, they feel comfortable storming a Seattle City Council meeting and blowing the thing up with protests. If you're an illegal in the United States of America, you should quiver with fear that you'll be found out because the country will arrest you and deport you. Here in America, our politicians, our system has so wronged us that the illegals feel free to do whatever they want. Crazy. All right. A couple emails, then headlines I didn't get to. Before we get to those, you understand that your phone and your laptop, they have endless amounts of your data in them. Your phone knows when you're walking. It listens when you're talking. And yes, I meant to rhyme that time, and it worked really well, but it is true. You need to have these things in signal-blocking Faraday bags from silent when you're not on them. When that phone is sitting beside you on the couch, when your laptop is sitting on your desk at home or at work, it needs to be in a silent bag. SLNT, by the way. SLNT. What are they? Well, they're just what I said. They're signal-blocking Faraday bags. So not just bad people in the government, but corporations who are trying at all times to access your data can't do it thanks to Slnt. SLNT.com/Jesse gets you 15% off plus free shipping on qualifying orders. Take stock of your personal data. It's out there and it's bad. Your phone is exposing you. Your laptop is exposing you. SLNT.com/Jesse. Go get one. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. It is the final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show, but not forever. Not forever. Don't worry. Don't cry, Chris. Tomorrow we will be back to do an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, where we will take 3 hours and we will answer whatever questions you email in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Did you hear Corinne Diversity hire today? Joe mumbles. He doesn't need a cognitive test. You see his abilities every day.
So first of all, I want to offer our condolences to the family of Lincoln.
Oh, wait, that's the wrong one. Or no, yeah, that's the wrong one. I played the wrong one. Stupid idiot. That was Chris who played that wrong. I'll fix it now.
The president doesn't need a cognitive test. That is not my assessment. That is not my assessment. That is the assessment of the president's doctor. And, you know, and you've heard us say this, and I'll reiterate this. The president's doctor has said, if you look at what this president, the president who is also the commander in chief, he passes a cognitive test every day as he moves from one topic to another topic, understanding the granular level of these topics. You saw him talk about fighting crime today. Tomorrow he's going to go to the border. Next week he's going to give a State of the Union address. And so we have to keep that in mind. This is a very rigorous job.
Yeah, no, you see it every day. You see. Anyway, Joe Biden did go to the border. Let's check in with the Border Patrol Union President, Brandon Judd, see what he thinks about all this.
Yeah, everything changed under President Biden. The way we patrol the border, our operations have changed. The way we vet people has changed. The way we process people through the system has changed. Everything that we do has changed under this administration. And it's not about enforcement. It's about getting people into this country as quickly as they possibly can. And so we've become extremely efficient at doing that. And we're all sick of it because we know that if this administration would do what is necessary, we wouldn't have the deaths that we have in this country. Not just Lake and Riley. Look at all of the fentanyl poisonings that we're seeing in the United States. We could stop that if we had the proper policy. He won't give it to us because his open border base won't let him.
Ouch. What? That's crazy. He didn't change anything. Remember Mayorkas back in 2021?
What Trump era immigration policies have been banned, ended, reversed, and if any investigations are underway by you?
So we have rescinded so many Trump immigration policies, it would take so much time to list them.
Remember, the communist is flooding your country with illegals on purpose. On purpose. It's not an accident. It's not a whoopsie. It's not because they're progressive, or they're just nice, or they're very liberal. The communist is flooding your country with illegal immigrants because he wants to burn it down. And you morons who keep voting Democrat, you're the ones enabling all this.
Tonight, some people who live in this neighborhood voiced their anger and frustration at a community meeting with state officials about this emergency shelter that's opening its doors. Neighbors feel like they had no say in this process, and officials had no answers for them either.
Can we kindly have a little bit of decorum in the room?
No, this is my neighborhood.
You Ming neighbors who call Four Point home grilled state officials about the 80 migrants who will call 24 Farnsworth Street a temporary home. The office space owned by the Unitarian Universalist Association will be turned into the latest overflow shelter.
How is it a done deal when you cannot answer these questions?
Safety and security, location, and facilities topping the concerns.
How are you going to ensure we're safe?
So we get no say as residents of the town, residents of the city, neighbors.
I would like to see a little bit more compassion. That's my point of view. Thank you.
Neighbors like Brian Curley say the community didn't have a voice before the decision was made.
I think
that's where you're wrong, though. The community didn't have a voice before the decision was made. Should I pull up Boston's election history? Didn't have a choice, huh? That is weird, because that was a story out of Boston. That's funny. Our voices aren't being heard. We didn't have a voice. I'm looking at the results of the last election. This is just presidential. I haven't even gotten into local stuff yet where Boston elected a card-carrying communist. By the way, shout out to the great WRKO. I love that station. Joe Biden got 82% of the Boston vote. Donald Trump got 15, which that's so weird because I swear I just heard one of these guys on camera say, we didn't have a voice. No, urban Democrat, you do have a voice. You have used your voice your entire life to push and promote communists. You vote for communists every time. You hate America. You go out and you vote for the Democrat who's running for office because they hate America like you do. And you woke up one day and your child's school had a Spanish speaking wing and your wife got stabbed on her way to work and you're looking around for who to blame, but you are to blame, communist. You, nobody else. Don't look around. It's not the mayor's fault. It's not the city council's fault. You do have a voice. You have a critical voice and you have used your voice to support communism. And now, enjoy it. Enjoy your communism. I'll be honest with you, kind of makes me smile knowing you get to enjoy what you voted for. Anyway, here's what I vote for. I vote for America being high T again. That's what I vote for. Testosterone levels are 50% of what they were 50 years ago. You remember the email I read you earlier? Chalk is a lot more than a Chad mode, which is their great new pre-workout. It's a lot more than chocolate powder or male vitality stacks. That's what I take, or female vitality stacks. Chalk is endless natural herbal supplements for whatever you're looking to improve in your life. Look at this. Look at this headline. Dose number 9, CDC panel green lights yet another COVID mRNA shot. I don't know. Do you think maybe the pharmaceutical industry is where you should go, or Chalk is where you should go? CHOQ.com. There is a better way, a natural way with anti-communists who care about you. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Go get a discount. Enjoy.
And now,
here's a headline.
Go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Romney, I would absolutely not vote for Trump over Biden. Yes, what a shock. Democrat Mitt Romney is going to vote for the Democrat. West End play stages shows to all black audience so they can be free from the white gaze. It is crazy how fast this stuff happened, right? The white gaze, good grief. An incredible successor. RFK Jr. gives his endorsement to this GOP senator to replace McConnell. RFK Jr. came out and endorsed Rand Paul to replace Mitch McConnell. I didn't see that one coming. Texas wildfires suddenly hit with snow. Thank you, God. They sure need it over there. FBI raids the home of longtime Eric Adams aide. Eric, you didn't think you were going to go on television and embarrass the administration without the checkup paying you a visit now, did you? Now, I'm going to pay you a visit. No, I'm not actually going to pay you a visit. I just mean you can email the show and I might read your question tomorrow on the air. Ask me anything. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow, okay? That's all.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.